Good morning. Today is Thursday, February the 18th, 49th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Fred Vacationing Van Vleck.
I am.
That's like a
Yes, it's the Tri-V.
Okay, I suppose that's better than Tri-Tofu. So you're not here, so we're recording in advance because you didn't feel comfortable sending somebody in, but you did feel comfortable dragging somebody in.
Well, of course, yes. Yes, I do.
That must be that Arcata upbringing, huh?
Yeah, gotcha. I'm not sure what to say to that one.
Yeah, okay.
So I've got Rick Jordan here with me, who is the principal of all our alternative programs in adult education.
So you're the Ken Stoddard of this decade.
I guess that's me.
Okay.
And actually, the second.
That means something to Fred. Yeah. It does. Mean anything to you, Rick?
That means nothing to me. Oh. Sorry.
Ken.
He's probably out there listening, too, I'd imagine.
I think Ken ran the adult ed program for 20, 25, 30 years, something like that.
Yeah, he was a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the voice of the Jacks.
And he looked better than you, too.
I thought it was Ken Stabler, and I was really going to take it as a compliment.
Oh, I see. You're starting to go lefty on us, huh? Yeah, okay. go ahead, Fred. I interrupted on purpose, but I didn't mean to, really.
Okay, got that. I followed that train of thought there. But anyways, Rick is also working halftime for College of the Redwoods on loan from Eureka City Schools to really coordinate the effort that we have going with College of the Redwoods, and I'm sure he'll get into that.
Mm-hmm. You think so, huh? I guess he will, halfway shortly. Our quote this morning comes from Martin Fisher. You guys are going to love this one. 1879 is when he was born. He died sometime after 1942 because that's when this beauty was printed.
Hmm.
Quote, "Education is the process of driving a set of prejudices down your throat."
I can see that, yes.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Bronco fan. You're not even going to, like, gloat?
Well, I don't need to. Okay. You said it all right there.
Okay. Well, I didn't hear that you were a Peyton Manning fan, which is more critical to most of us.
No, I'm a Peyton Manning fan, especially when he started putting on the orange and blue.
No, it was orange and white. Tennessee. Tennessee. Back to the blue thing, huh?
Yeah.
He dresses in blue, and he's wearing his orange Speedos, so it really is kind of a truly mind-numbing combination.
Well, the numbing, how do you know?
Yeah. It's because you shared the pictures, man. You shared the pictures. So, Rick, what is different about this combination of having CR, or having you on loan, I guess, to CR?
I think it's really allowing us to blend the programs in a way that are going to meet the needs of the students in a more efficient manner, and being able to bring in the kinds of expertise that I have from my secondary background to streamline that process and take some barriers out of the way.
So this is a bridge to Redwoods specifically?
No, not specifically. One of the outcomes, sure, is that more students will enter College of Redwoods better prepared and complete at a higher rate. But we know that we're, through the dual enrollment program, serving a lot of students that will go on to other community colleges, other four-year schools, and or other kinds of technical training.
You got Fred's attention. He's over there playing crossword puzzles. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19. We'll see if we can get his attention back also when we come back.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rick Jordan and a little bit of Fred Van Fleck, at least in the first half of the program. Rick, for folks that remember adult ed or maybe even went through adult ed, it certainly has morphed and evolved and changed over the years. if somebody hasn't kept abreast of it, what is adult ed like today?
Well, still meeting some of those same needs. One of the main focuses is, of course, to get adult reentry students on path to get a high school diploma or pass the GED. But it also creates some new opportunities for us to work with older adults, to take some opportunities to create some internships for people reentering the workforce, to do some retraining, to really look at the needs of the community. And
so is that a replacement for or augment, I don't know what it's called anymore, but CETA, the old job training programs that were there when somebody would get displaced? Unfortunately, we have an example this month of a mill closing. Sure. If those folks are staying in the area, is that kind of what this is geared towards?
That's one of the responsibilities for adult ed, for sure, is to really look at what jobs are available and attract the potential students in to get them trained up to move into those positions.
At the high school campus? At another campus? Or where do these folks go? Or is it just after hours?
Well, that really is a growing situation where the opportunities to take adult ed classes have traditionally been more restricted to the high schools, but with the shift in how the program is run, with College of the Redwoods having a significant role, we'll be serving students all across CR's service area, and that would be at classrooms located at schools, but numerous other locations, really trying to get to where the population centers are, making it as easy as possible for folks to get in and have the classes.
Is there any effort to do it all virtual classroom?
There is some of that, for sure, when we're talking about high school completion, being able to access a full range of courses. We use an online platform. But some of the virtual classrooms, that's, I think, will become available for adult ed classes. Right now, that really is an emerging area for College of the Redwoods for their credit courses.
Okay, so it's the CR component of it, but not necessarily Eureka City Schools.
That's correct, right.
Okay. It seems intriguing, and I don't know, I guess there's either my sensitivity to it or there's a lot more marketing that, like University of Phoenix, I mean, they were, have been one of the primary sponsors of NFL football on the radio side. And they're using Larry Fitzgerald, who had gone through, I think it was Arizona or Arizona State. Wait, no, he was USC, wasn't he? Heaven forbid we forget a USC almost grad in the equation. But they're talking about online. And it seems like that's the big thrust, recognizing that most non-traditional students have got this thing called a job,
right,
a family, things like that that really preclude them from being able to attend the 8-to-6 normal model of what the educational system is.
And for our area, with as many spots that are as rural as they are, that online side or that virtual classroom side really can fill some gaps that in the past we've not been able to fill.
But, of course, they'd have to be in those areas with the high-speed access rather than dial up in some of the older technologies.
Yeah, and so there are obviously a few places where that's the case, but just about anyone with a smartphone and a wireless connection at a coffee shop can get in and literally take a class at their own convenience.
So this is a county, the adult ed is a county-wide effort rather than just Eureka City Schools?
Right. The CR portion of it is the whole service area, and so that would be Humboldt County, Delmarva County.
But the interesting thing is Eureka City Schools is the last district in the county to offer adult education.
Last as in last in line to do, or the last final remaining?
The last final remaining adult education program in Humboldt County.
Really?
It is.
So during the...
So who's taking it over? Redwoods, primarily?
Well, right now we're running parallel programs, but during the recession, the other school districts pulled their money into their general fund. Eureka City Schools made the decision to maintain adult ed programs, and so as we came out of the recession, we still had those programs in place.
That's right, because my recollection is a lot of it was user fees or whatever. I know there's a different terminology for it, but those attending would have to pay to offset the faculty.
Correct. That was a portion of
and
it.
That was it, and there were not too many of them that penciled out.
Right.
And
right.
They just weren't in a position to be able to afford that option.
What the history was, there used to be a state program that funded adult education to the local districts. And then when we got into the fiscal crisis of 2007, there became this thing called categorical flexibility. And under categorical flexibility, adult education dollars that were once contributed strictly to adult education on a district-by-district basis became completely flexible, and districts could choose to spend those how they wished. They could either continue their adult education program or spend them on other students in the district.
And so they get monies to do adult ed, but they didn't have the requirement to do adult ed?
Well, that is accurate, yes. Categorical programs are gone under the new local control funding formula, but back in the 2007-08 range, that's when it became flexible. And many districts chose not to do that. And it wasn't because they didn't want to serve adults. And just candidly speaking, it's because they had to do it to survive. And being candid again, Eureka City Schools' program for adult education shrank tremendously under that era.
No more underwater jazzercise?
That's correct. We did have that. We did have that. We had water aerobics of some sort, I think, at one point in the...
In the pool.
Don't say that word.
Okay, in the cave?
Actually, the pool is full right now.
Of what?
Leaky roof water.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, good. Just throw a little chlorine in there, drop a cup of koi, and you keep yourself busy when you come back to town, huh?
Yes.
Do a little fishing. Really? The leak is that bad?
Oh, it's awful. And actually, one of our biggest concerns is... if somebody gets on that roof, they'd fall
through.
Yeah. And so the access, obviously, you can't get up on the roof, but it is a scary thing to think about, is making sure nobody gets up on that gymnasium roof.
So why don't you have a destruction class, turn the kids loose from underneath and start tearing that bad boy down? Or can you? Does it have to stay up?
Well, we actually have what's called an emergency funding grant, and we have 60% of that roof paid for. And
oh, good. That would be the part that's rotted?
Yes, yes.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rick Jordan and Fred Van Fleck from Eureka City Schools /CR. Is there any one question, Rick, that you get more often than not about either concurrent enrollment or what the benefit is for the student going through and taking advantage of that opportunity?
Well, concurrent enrollment is a little different than dual enrollment, but we're doing both. Concurrent enrollment is a CR class that would be offered on the Eureka High School campus taught by a CR instructor. But dual enrollment is the newest program, and there are a lot of questions there. So in a dual enrolled class, a student who is enrolled in, for example, AP Literature, dual enrolls in a parallel class at College of the Redwoods, in this case, English 1A, and it's still taught by the Eureka High School teacher. And at the end of the term, the Eureka High School teacher, who is technically a minimally qualified instructor at College of the Redwoods, issues a grade, and that student receives a grade for the high school class and for the equivalent CR class.
So AP Lit is English 1?
Correct. And So they're literally, as the title implies, dual enrolled and getting credit in two places.
So they have to do twice as much homework?
No, they do the same amount of homework, but what I think the state
who wouldn't want to do that?
And so that's probably where one of the biggest questions comes, is that parents and students are having these moments of it seems too good to be true, and so they might be a little leery to move forward on it because it does seem a little too good to be true. But the reality is that we figured some things out in the state that we have some really high-performing students in these academic classes and these CTE classes that are having to retake the equivalent class at the next level. Why would we spend the money twice?
And as a parent of a sophomore at Eureka High School, I'm thinking, wow, I can get my son out of Eureka High School with a full year of college underneath his belt. Cha-ching.
Are there fees? I mean, do they have to pay the CR for unit fees?
No. That's part of what the law allows is that there are no fees to a California resident. We have exchange students that would have to pay out-of-state fees, for example. But for
then
the vast...
be taking those classes?
Yeah.
Come on.
Never know.
And they wouldn't have to dual enroll if they didn't want to. They
right.
could just
They'd
stay in
the
high
the
school class. But I'll tell you what, the goal
same,
is...
Same test, across the board?
Same.
Well, what happens is that, and I don't mean to jump in there, but what happens is the two teachers sit down and talk and make sure that the course is aligned, because it's important that our Eureka High School course aligns to what they're giving credit for.
Sure, because then they take the next level. Class. I mean, if it's... building
right,
on one,
right.
one another.
We can't give them credit for something that isn't compatible with the class they would be getting credit for at College of the Redwoods.
So that's CR? Is that any junior college in California? Does it transfer to a four-year? So if they don't enroll in CR and go to, let's say, UCLA, does that go with them?
Absolutely. So those CR courses have identification numbers. And at the state level, it is worked out so that whatever CSU or UC or community college a student was to go to, when they enter the course, they see that the course from College of the Redwoods is equivalent, and they would match it up to the course at the receiving community college or four-year school.
Is there more stuff, guys?
There's more. They get a weighted GPA, too. So not only do they get college credit.
No. That's not that 5 point that you
it
keep
is.
Bragging about.
It is.
You,
just
you would
just
have earned.
Like the AP. Yeah. No, I didn't get any 5 point classes when I was in high school. I was just a Cal Poly guy, you know, ag guy.
So they get that also. So it seems like only kids that wouldn't know what's going on, and were just ignorant to this, or weren't able to take that class, are X'd out.
But it's not just those courses either. It's also, and talk a little bit maybe about the career and technical education courses.
The concept across the board to all classes
yes.
that are this way.
Right.
Well, not all classes are this way, but classes that we can
all
directly
cross. All
those classes
that are this way.
Yes, there
correct.
You go.
Somebody would be stupid not to.
Yeah. But we have to be able to make sure that the Eureka High School teacher can minimally qualify. But once that happens, so students, for example, that are taking the welding class, will receive credit at the end of this term for Welding Tech 53 at CR, as well as the other, you know, currently we're offering the AP Lit and a...
And part of the goal with that is we want to get our career and technical education students in a college program so they get some of that post-high school training, after high school training, to get them into an entry-level position at a higher level. So this isn't just for our college-bound students. It's also for our career-bound students.
So it sounds like one of the critical things is that the class plan is identical or comparable.
It needs to be comparable. It needs to be on the same level of rigor, covering the same kinds of curricular topics. But it doesn't have to be exact because there's...
Because you don't have the same number of hours in the classroom. Either you got a little bit more or a little bit less.
Well, we work it out so we have the exact same number of hours as the CR class. And so the dual enrolled class may run for the equivalent of 4 months out of the school year, while the Eureka High School class would run the whole school year. And so those are some of the details we're able to work out behind the scenes.
And labs are?
Labs are additional time.
On the CR campus?
Nope. So, for example, the Wood 3 class that we are working at becoming dual enrolled, that would dual enroll with CT 57A at College of the Redwoods, the College of Redwood course has lab time, which means the Eureka High School course.
Well, no, use the lab?
No, they do all the work at Eureka High School, but the time of the dual enrolled course is significantly longer because of those lab sections that are attached to it. But we're able to work all that out.
Everybody's pretty comfortable with it?
I think people are becoming more comfortable with it. They'll be really comfortable at the end of this term when the four sections that we have dual enrolled actually have grades attached to them, and students can get on the CR website and see they have a transcript and they've got a grade there.
four classes now. What do you hope for?
We have pending right now for next year 11 classes. I'm feeling very confident that we'll be offering 10 to 11 classes next year with as many as 12 to 13 sections overall.
So the kids really have the flexibility to get into some of these classes or multiple classes.
Right. And so as Fred was saying, for a current 9th or 10th grader, if they work their schedule correct, they could end up with 27, 30, 33 college credits when they leave Eureka High School. And you can imagine the incentive to continue to work hard at that point because they've already got a full year completed.
Boy, that'd get them down to a 5 or 6 year college experience.
We would, as a parent with two kids in college, I would hope not.
Yeah, then you know. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:44. We'll be back with more from Rick Jordan and Fred Van Fleck.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. You're on, dude. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting. I think a lot of us don't hear about different challenges to the educational system outside of enrollment, finances. But you're also one of the larger employers in the city of Eureka.
We are.
And have one of the larger payrolls. How challenging is that part of your job?
Well, one of the really interesting things about it is associations. We have two associations, Eureka Teachers Association, and then also the Classified School Employees Association. And recently, with the California Teachers Association, which our Eureka teachers are a part of, have a case before the Supreme Court. And it was actually fast-tracked to the Supreme Court and never even heard by any of the state courts because the outcome really hinged on something being decided at the Supreme Court, and that is the Friedrichs versus the California Teachers Association. And what this case is challenging, there's 10 teachers that brought this case forward that are alleging that union dues violate their First Amendment rights. It was heard by the Supreme Court in January, and the preliminary indications given by the Supreme Court is that they are going to rule in favor of the teachers. And the interesting outcome of that is if they rule against the California Teachers Association, there will no longer be a requirement for teachers to pay political action fees and local bargaining fees to their unions. And that will be a national decision, not just affecting the California state teachers. And 25 states are right-to-work states, and 25 states are not. And so those 25 states that are not will be severely impacted by this potential decision given down by the U.S. Supreme Court.
Is Eureka City Schools a closed shop?
Eureka City Schools is a closed shop, both for CSEA and Eureka teachers. No, that's by law. There is actually a case that dates back many years ago that made that into law where they could be a closed shop. And that was actually has been in about the last 15 years or so, because when I was originally a teacher, it wasn't, not all schools were a closed shop. They had to be voted in to be a closed shop. So, for instance, I worked for a school district that never voted in until it became law to be a closed shop.
So this really does have a chance to kind of change the landscape a little bit? Or will anybody really know the difference other than the individual teachers themselves?
Well, CTA is a huge lobby in the state. They have somewhere close to 300,000 members, and 60% of their dues go to political action of some sort. And so that's about 600 per employee per year. And when you start talking numbers up in that figure, it could have a tremendous impact on the political lobby in the state.
Any idea when this is due to be rendered?
June is when they will render their final decision. It was heard in January.
The end of the school year.
Yep, exactly.
Thanks for coming by, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Join us tomorrow for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. I'll see you.